TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
Yes, it is. Raised by Wolves. Danny Cunningham, Manny Hill here on Score North as we inch closer and closer and closer to training camp in the NBA season. It's Tuesday, September 10th. So media day, just 20 days away as the Wolves are starting to really get closer. But I did want to open up today's show, sending out condolences to the McLeod family in Cleveland. Cavaliers TV play-by-play guy Fred McLeod tragically passed away late yesterday night or early this morning. At 67 years old, really, really sad news to hear. I know he was someone that I wasn't necessarily close with, but I had the pleasure of having a few conversations with him throughout the years, especially during my time in Cleveland. He was certainly a voice of my childhood.
I was just going to say, growing up in Cleveland.
Growing up, it was Fred McLeod was the voice of the Cavaliers when I was a kid. It was him. It was Joe Tate on the radio, but Fred was a big voice in my childhood for a lot of Cleveland Cavaliers basketball, for a lot of really fun times watching basketball, something that kind of helped mold me into what I am today with those early LeBron teams. And Fred was just as big a part of that because he was in my living room 82 times a year watching Cavs games. So really, really a sad thing that happened. Condolences to his family, his wife Beth, really the entire Cleveland Cavaliers organization. I know that there are some people in Cleveland and really across the NBA and across that industry, this industry, that are certainly hurting today. It's something you never want to see. It's something you hate to hear about, and it's really some tragic news.
Yeah, it's always, there's always those special, when you're growing up as a sports fan and you're cheering for your teams, there's always that special voice of whatever team you might be cheering for. Like for me, it was Kevin Harlan.
Sure.
Watching the Wolves in the mid to late 90s. And when the Wolves finally started getting good and competitive with Kevin Garnett and Stephon Marbury, like Kevin Harlan was the voice of that for a few years before he moved on to bigger things. So, yeah, I mean, there is something to be said for that connection that you have with that voice of your team as a kid growing up. And I'm sure Fred McLeod was that for you.
Yeah, so really, really unfortunate news. Again, condolences to Fred's family, to the entire Cavaliers organization. Fox Sports Ohio is a group who obviously is the rights holder in Cleveland. Really tough news to hear. And condolences to his partner, Austin Carr, too, because that's, while life does go on and the Cavs will have another play-by-play guy, and that's just the way the world works. That's the way the business is going to work. Yeah. I know Austin and Fred were two guys that were really close, that really enjoyed working together. So condolences to him, too, because I know it won't necessarily be easy when the Cavaliers open up their season for someone other than Fred McLeod to be calling games. But let's get to the Timberwolves because some news happened today as we do start to ramp up. The Wolves, I think, finally finished their front office off. They hired another assistant GM today as they hired Joe Branch, who was an agent for Roc Nation. He represented Caris LeVert, Justice Winslow, Josh Hart, recently had a hand in Kyrie Irving as his agent, since he parted ways with, I believe, Jeff Schwartz was his previous agent.
Mm-hmm.
So really an interesting hire. He used to work for Nike. He's worked in the league in terms of the league office, played basketball at Northwestern, I believe. So a really interesting hire, one that I certainly didn't see coming. It's one that feels like it was out of left field. But I do think that there are some positives to hiring someone that was at one point an agent, because right now, this summer, the D'Angelo Russell thing happened. It didn't work out. Mm-hmm. But that's what the Wolves were players for in free agency. They weren't players for much else. To land D'Angelo Russell, they were going to have to get really creative.
Yeah.
But I think that moving forward, having someone that thinks like an agent, that knows how all that stuff does work, having someone like that in your front office that can maybe help in how you have to recruit a player and how you have to work out a contract and how you have to look at the player's interests too, and not saying that Gerson Rosas and Gianluca Pescucci and the rest of this front office can't, but I think having someone just very recently removed from that world on your side helps. I think this is certainly a creative move. It's one that interests me because it certainly can help in future free agent pursuits.
Yeah, I mean, the Wolves, let's face it, the Wolves are not going to be a team that free agents that are not, they're not going to be a team that's going to be at the top of a free agent's list of potential destinations.
At least not now. It can happen in the future, but right now they're not.
And I think the thought of bringing Branch in is to sort of close that gap between, you know, what the Wolves have and what, you know, the Lakers and the Heat and, you know, the Sixers and the Knicks and other teams that always are going to be in the conversation for free agents. The Wolves are going to have to find a way to sort of close that gap to be able to convince players that, hey, this is a destination you can come in and thrive and have success in too. And I think the idea of bringing in Branch is going to try and close that gap.
Yeah, and it's going to take other things to close that gap. But I think that having someone like that in the front office is a good thing. I don't know what his job role is going to be. I genuinely have no idea right now. I'm still trying to find out some of those details, and I'm sure at certain points they will pop up, as they always do. But it's something that's interesting to see, in the very least, that they are being creative, and I do think the Wolves deserve credit for their creativity. They tore down the front office. They tore down the coaching staff. They are essentially trying to, I don't want to say rebuild this organization from square one, because you're not doing that. You already have Karl-Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. And when you have a player of that magnitude, you're not at square one. I'm sorry, you're not. But they are trying to rebuild a lot of this organization. This is another move that I think it does. It is something that helps them move in the right direction. I don't know what Joe Branch is capable of. I have no idea. But I think that just from his background, it's something that could help.
Yeah, I like the fact that they are at least, you know, and it obviously remains to be seen if all of this is going to come together the right way and work. But I like the idea that they are going, you know, outside of the norm of what this franchise historically has always done. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we're 30 years into this franchise's history, and historically, at least under Glenn Taylor's ownership, it's always had this sort of country club type of feel where everybody is, you know, we're bringing in all the people that we know and that we're really close to, and we're not really willing to branch out and get outside voices in. It seems like now with Gerson Rosas taking over that they are branching out a little bit outside of the organization, looking at different things as like to say, you know, how are we going to get this going in the right direction?
I will say this, that there is no chance this move gets made before Gerson Rosas takes over. I can't foresee, and this is looking back, obviously, in hindsight, it's always 2020, but anyone that has ever run this organization, I can't see them making a hire quite like this. Or, quite frankly, really any of the other ones that Gerson has made.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And that's why this is so intriguing. And again, like we said before, it remains to be seen how it's all going to work out, because everybody has to come in and they have to play their role, they have to do their part, and they have to make right decisions to get this team going in the right direction. But the initial idea of what they're trying to do seems really, really sound.
Yeah, it certainly does. And we'll find out more as this month turns into next month, because Manny, basketball is actually kind of close now. We're
Can't
not
wait.
That far away.
Can't
we're
wait.
Still in the we're still in a very dull period. Like, there's no real buildup. It's just kind of like training camp and then bam, you go.
Yep.
But up until training camp, like right now, I'm writing my player previews for ScoreNorth.com. Like, I wrote about Tyrone Wallace, and I wrote about Naz Reid yesterday, and I wrote about Jalen Noel for today. Tomorrow, Jarrett Culver will publish. I believe Travion Graham is scheduled for Friday. So, like, it's ramping up slowly, and I know Jarrett Culver is one that people will be excited about, but the rest of these names aren't necessarily ones that are going to make people jump out of their chair to go read. But it's going to ramp up slowly. We're going to start to get to some big names. Like, there is a little bit of talent on this team. Young, exciting talent that maybe they're not built to win 40-plus games, because I don't think they are. But there's some talent here. I think there are some unknowns.
Yeah.
And unknowns, to me at least, are always exciting.
Yeah, and I think when you look at some of these players, you know, you look at like a Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague's a really solid starting point guard in the NBA. What's going to happen with his future? Is he going to be with this team the entire season? That's going to be something that is going to be talked about and speculated upon as he's going into the last year of his deal. Obviously, we'll get to Karl-Anthony Towns, the best player on the team, the cornerstone and everything. Andrew Wiggins, where with this change in the front office, what does that mean for Andrew's future? In some ways, he's kind of in a fork in the road in his career, where we really start to find out, okay, big change in the organization, which direction does Andrew's career go now? I mean, he's got the contract, obviously, but Does he take that next step? Is he able to take that next step, or does he continue to just sort of be the same type of player that he has been for the last five seasons of his for the first five seasons of his career? It's going to be really interesting to see how that goes. And so, yeah, there's a lot of intriguing pieces here on this team where there's a couple different directions that it can go with whatever player it might be. And I'm excited to find out over the next couple of months.
All right, so let's dive into some of my player previews, and that's how we'll spend the majority of this episode and probably next week's episode as well here. But I have already published, as I said, Tyrone Wallace and Naz Reid were published yesterday. Jalen Noel was published today, September 10th, and tomorrow, September 11th, will be Jarrett Culver. Tyrone Wallace was the first one I did, and there was a reason I started off with him because I don't know that there's much of a chance he makes this roster. Mm-hmm. His contract is the one contract on this team coming into training camp that is a non-guaranteed deal. There's a guarantee date this month, which I don't know has passed or not, for $300,000. And then there's another guarantee date, I believe, in January, similar to the way that James Nunnally's contract was structured last year, where mm-hmm. if he's on the roster then, it's fully guaranteed. And if not, you can cut him beforehand and nothing happens. So I put the way I did these previews is I gave a little bit of background on the player, you know, what he's good at, what he can do, all that stuff. And then a best case scenario, worst case scenario, and most likely scenario. So I think the best case scenario personally for Wallace is finding a way to be better than one of the other 15 players. But not only better, good enough so that the Wolves have to make a real decision. Because right mm-hmm. now I don't think that they do.
Yeah, with him, I wonder if he is up against it because of the position that he plays and because the Wolves do have kind of an abundance of wing players that are going mm-hmm. to factor into, you know, what they can do for this team. And I wonder if that is ultimately what's working against him in this situation.
I do think his ability to play point guard is something that'll help him, though.
Sure.
If it is, it's because I essentially think that, and we'll dive into Jalen Noel here in probably 5 minutes or so, I guess, but the fact that Jalen Noel's contract is only guaranteed for 1 year or two does crack the door open a little bit for Tyrone Wallace, I think, because they're not on a major commitment for him. Yeah, they're paying him, I believe it's $1.4 million this year, which is one of the highest guarantees ever for a second-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, they're not on the hook for anything. So if they do see something in Tyrone Wallace that they don't see in Jalen Noel right away, or if Jalen Noel doesn't work out right away, they could cut ties, and it's going to cost them a little financially right away. But then Tyrone Wallace is round and non-guaranteed.
How much better does Wallace need to be than the 15th guy that has a little bit of an edge on him at this point, whoever that may be? How much better does he need to be than that guy?
Significantly better. Mm-hmm. I think he would need to be probably the 12th or 13th guy to make this roster, just because of the way, and it's nothing that Tyrone Wallace has done wrong other than what his contract stipulates. Because if he is better, if he is the 14th best guy, better than one, or if he is the 15th best guy in camp, mm-hmm. you're not going to lose money to keep him around, right? It just right. doesn't yeah. make sense. The juice isn't no worth point. The squeeze. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
So that worst case scenario for him is getting cut. And honestly, for the team, it might be that he's way better than somebody else, because that means you missed on a draft pick somewhere.
What does he bring to the table? What's his biggest strength, do you think?
Well, he's not a shooter. He's someone that can handle the ball relatively well. He's an okay playmaker, and he's a solid defender for a guard. He's 6'5". He can guard both guard positions. He's a solid defender there. That's what he does best.
Okay.
But it's not. I think that the most likely scenario for him is he's getting cut. I think that that's just kind of is what it is for him. I think the writing is on the wall with him.
Good luck to him.
Yeah, so next up, Naz Reid, who is someone I don't think will get cut.
No.
He signed as an undrafted free agent with the Wolves. He was a five-star recruit in high school, didn't necessarily have the best year with LSU. He signed a deal very similar to Jalen Noel, except his guarantee for the first year is significantly less. He'll be making just under $900,000 as a rookie, and then he has three more non-guaranteed seasons that run through 2023. Best case scenario, I think, for him is that he's going to find a way onto the floor on a consistent basis as a rookie. there's no promises that's going to happen. But if he can prove he's an NBA player, he's got the talent. It's not necessarily what he can't do. It's what he chooses not to do too often that holds him back. There were a lot of times at LSU where he would take plays off, and you can't do that in the NBA.
Right.
You cannot do that unless you are the best of the best. You can't take nights off. If you're someone fighting for a roster spot, as Naz Reid kind of is, you can't take nights off.
He's intriguing to me because of everything that you just talked about with, I mean, they were talking about this kid at one point or another being like a lottery pick, being a lottery pick.
I believe he was the 17th prospect in the country, according to one, maybe Rivals it was, but he was a consensus five-star player.
Yeah, and I think if you're the Wolves, and we've talked about this a lot, if you're the Wolves and you're in kind of a dicey position with your cap and, you know, free agency is going to be sort of a tough thing for you in terms of just going out and just outright signing a guy. The alternative way to build your roster is to find situations like this with Naz Reid and getting the most out of them that you possibly can. A kid who is young, talented, at one point was thought to be a really, really strong prospect. You know, different things come about over the course of his college career that causes him to plummet in everybody's rankings. And, you know, you find him and you give him a shot. And if you can get the most out of him, this is how you build a team into being a contender, is that you find those diamonds in the roughs that can contribute somehow, some way for you. And Naz Reid is really intriguing to me. I'm really curious to see how this kid, you know, fits in and how they use him and if he can turn himself into a huge contributor for them.
Yeah, it's something that interests me. He can shoot, which is really nice. And yeah. I do think that at some point he will be an NBA rotation player. I don't think he's going to be a star. I don't think he's going to live up to the five-star recruiting reviews that he got in high school. But I think because of what he can do, he can fit in the NBA. I'd like to see him rebound better. I'd like to see him defend better. And I'd like to see him use his physical gifts more than he does, because he's got them. He has all the talent and the physical attributes to be an NBA player. He just hasn't been as dedicated, I think, as he needed to be. And I do think, for what it's worth, that something clicked with him. He's talked about that. Mm-hmm. Like, he has been open that, yeah, I've taken plays off and I can't do that. Like, he has been open about that. And that, while it is, to steal Gerson Rosas's words, it's an action over words franchise.
Yeah.
But to hear the words first before we could even see the action counts for something right now.
How would he fit playing next to Cat in spurts?
I think it'd be interesting because, well, again, the Wolves have the problem of all their front court players can shoot and all their backcourt players can't.
Yeah.
He's another front court player that can shoot. Like, it would be really difficult to defend Karl-Anthony Towns, who can make it from anywhere on the floor, and Naz Reid, who isn't quite that good of a shooter, but is a better shooter than the average. He's a stretch four, essentially. That's a really difficult front court lineup to defend. I think it could work. I don't know how much of it we'll see this year, but I think it's something that could work.
How is Naz Reid as a defender? What can he do as a defender?
He needs to improve. Naz Reid needs to improve as a defender. I think that, first and foremost, finding himself in the right place at the right time is something that he needs to do. And there is always going to be an adjustment from college to the NBA in terms of defense. Like, Josh Okogie last year was kind of the exception to the rule, where he came in and he was one of the better defenders. He was probably the best rookie defender out there.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of defensive highlights. He was good on the defensive side of the ball. That doesn't often happen for rookies. It's especially at that spot. It's hard to guard bigs. It's hard to guard wings. It's hard to guard guards. It's hard to guard bigs. I think the wings are probably the place where the transition can be the smoothest. Now, that being said, the wings are where the best athletes typically are too. So that's what makes it difficult. But I think that he's going to need to find himself in the right place at the right time more often defensively than he has.
And part of that is just a willingness to do it, right? Because
when you take plays off, Manny, you don't often take them off offensively. You take it off on defense and in rebounding. The rebounding is something he should be able to do much better. Defense is going to take time.
Yeah, and with Josh Okogie last year, we saw like a dedication to that end of the floor. And he made his rookie mistakes on that end of the floor, where he probably gambled a little bit too much and things like that. But you could see in Josh Okogie, like, okay, this guy's going to be a good defender, because if anything, he's got that. You can see that willingness on that end of the floor, and that'll be interesting to see if Naz Reid can sort of develop that as he sticks around here.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, Jalen Noel was the number two pick for the Wolves, second round, 43rd overall. I believe it was technically Miami's pick, because no one in the second round ever uses their own pick. I'm willing to bet more than half the picks in the second round were someone else's pick at some point.
They're always trading.
So it was Miami's pick at one point, I think, and the Wolves made it. But he signed a deal, like I said, very similar to Naz Reid. It's a four-year deal. The first year is guaranteed at $1.4 million. The next 3 years are all non-guaranteed. So essentially the Wolves have a player or a team option on him next year, 2 years from now, and 3 years from now. That's something that could be valuable, or it could be something that you regret having.
Is there a way, like, we could combine his offensive game with Josh Okogie's defense?
That'd be a fun player.
Would be a really, really fun player.
Now, I'm very hesitant to bring up college shooting stats, because, like, Josh Okogie shot 38%
right
as a freshman at Georgia Tech and as a sophomore at Georgia Tech. And then he came into the NBA and shot 29% from three.
Yep.
So I'm hesitant to do that. I don't know how well that translates. But Noel shot like 44% from three, which is really, really good.
That's something
that you would hope translates. Now, do I expect him to come in and shoot 44% from three in the NBA? Absolutely not. Can he shoot 37 or 38% from three? Yeah, would you take that in a heartbeat?
Absolutely.
In the backcourt, that would be light years better than anyone the Wolves have had.
Yes, 100%. And I do like the fact that...
Other than a month of Derrick Rose.
Remember when we thought Derrick Rose might be in the three-point contest?
I fell for the trap. I thought he was good again.
And then he hit like one in like 2 months.
All right, quick aside here, and then we'll get back to this. I saw something on Twitter. Like the one of the Detroit Pistons blogs, like I don't know if it was Fansided or SB Nation or something like that, but one of the Detroit Pistons blogs wrote an article about like Derrick Rose. It was what does Derrick Rose need to do to win Sixth Man of the Year? I was like, I don't know, play more than 50 games, maybe.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like that's play games, not get hurt.
Play, stay right. Healthy.
Sorry for that interruption. Back to Jalen Noel.
Yeah, I'm just – the shooting does really intrigue me a lot, and I do like the fact and I know that the Pac-12 did not have a very good year in college basketball last year. They were, like, probably of the Power 5 conferences, they were the worst conference in the country of the Power 5.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the fact that he was – if I'm not mistaken, he was Pac-12 Player of the Year, right?
Yes, he was.
Yes. That does intrigue me. And I think that, if anything, it shows that he's got some talent. There's a legitimate level of talent there. And it's just a matter of him sort of piecing everything together. The shooting, like you mentioned, it's hard to tell how it will transition to the NBA. But 44% is pretty damn good,
yeah,
even at the collegiate level. And this is a team that, especially in the backcourt, is just starving for perimeter shooting. And if he can come in... And again, second-round pick, so how much he'll actually play right away is probably – we probably won't see him very much.
Sure, and we can get to that in a second.
But if he can develop behind the scenes, show them something, find himself on the floor, and add that element of outside shooting, that can only help this team. It can only help them.
So I wrote for his best-case scenario that he could end up being the third point guard from the get-go. He could find himself getting like 8 to 10 minutes. But I don't know that that's the best-case scenario. I think the best-case scenario is for him to start the year in the G League.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of go the Kata Bates-Diop route from last year, where Kata spent a chunk of time, November, December, before this was all before Tibbs was fired. He spent a chunk of time in Iowa. I think he played 17 games with the Iowa Wolves.
Yeah.
And he came back, and he was ready to be an NBA player in a way that he wasn't before. And I'm not saying Jalen's going to be the same as that, because I have no way of knowing that. But I do know that the Wolves are putting a focus on the G League now, unlike anything they've ever done before. And I think that Jalen Noel would be a pretty good test case there.
Yeah. I mean, and it would kind of be the same path that Kata followed, right? Kata was Big Ten Player of the Year.
Yeah, he was the 48th overall. I can't believe he fell to 48. But
yeah, looking back at it now, especially, it's like, wow, good find there. But yeah, that's, again, this is, even going back to the Naz Reid thing, like, this is how... If you can find guys like this in the second round somehow, some way, and have them be contributors, they don't all have to be Draymond Green, one of the best defensive players in the league, one of the best players overall in the league. They don't all have to be that. But if you can find a way to get these guys that you get in the second round or undrafted guys and just have them be contributors, man, it does so much for the growth and development of the team overall.
And then I think that the other part of that best case scenario is finding himself in the rotation in the second half of the year.
Yeah.
Earning those third point guard minutes and getting on the NBA floor, whether it's for 10 to 15 minutes a night, find a way to be an NBA player and solidify yourself as, all right, you know, we're not all the way there yet. We're not a finished product, but I see an outline of a rotation player. Be that. That is the best case scenario for him. Worst case, I think, is spending a lot of time in the G League and it not going well.
Yeah.
And not standing out in the G League in a place where he should. And then the Wolves have a decision to make next year on whether or not they want to keep him. And that's not what you want out of the number 43 overall pick.
Yeah, and when you factor in his contract situation, I mean, I got to imagine that he wants to let out a really good first impression.
I would think
right
so.
Away. I mean, because if it doesn't go well for him this year, the Wolves will have the option of being able to just move on without any sort of financial circumstance that they'd have to deal with. So,
Yep. Yeah,
he's got a lot on the line, and he'll be hungry, I would imagine.
Yeah, it will definitely be interesting to see what plays out there. But tomorrow will be Jarrett Culver. We'll probably just talk about him next week because we'll have more next week on the other guys, and those people will certainly be interesting to see. So we'll dive into Jarrett Culver on the next edition of Raised by Wolves when Manny joins me again next week. Believe Dane Moore is going to be with me on Thursday to chat some preseason stuff. Our schedules just unfortunately have not been able to line up over the past couple of weeks, but hopefully we get Dane back in studio on Thursday. That's Manny Hill. I'm Danny Cunningham. This has been Raised by Wolves. Remember, find us on scorenorth.com, the all-new free Score North app available for both Apple and Android devices, as well as anywhere you get podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever that is. Check us out there. We'll talk to you next time.